Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We go to the second inning here at Citi Field. It's the Mets nothing, the Dodgers nothing. Middle of the Dodger order to bat here again. Zach Wheeler beginning with Cody Bellinger. And for the second inning, we are so happy to have Major League Baseball's chief baseball officer, former Mets manager, and of course, Baseball Hall of Famer Joe Torre join us in the booth. He's got the first pitch to Bellinger with the infield overshifted. Wheeler deals and a fastball of the knees for a called strike one. Joe is here to talk about his Safe at Home Foundation, which started back in 2002 to help children impacted by violence and traumas in their home. The 0-1 to Bellinger in for a called strike, 0-2. Joe, something, of course, very close to your heart.
It really is, Howie. I was raised, my dad was abusive to my mom. He was a New York City detective and brought fear on the whole household.
The 0-2 to Bellinger, low, 1-2.
And, I never got physically abused, but I didn't realize it until really later on in life that all the little nervousness and stuff I suffered as a kid and low self-esteem. I didn't even go out for my high school baseball team as a freshman. I didn't think I was good enough. So once I was able to connect the dots, I wanted to talk about it.
2-2 to Bellinger. Wheeler deals. Swing and a miss and a high fastball. Strike three. One man away. And Corey Seager coming up. Now, you established Margaret's Place, which was named for your mom. And just tell us about what the impact on kids in schools, not only here but around the country, has been.
Well, unfortunately, probably 25% of all students are affected by some kind of abuse.
Nationally?
Nationally.
Wow.
And it's really frightening, and I know I never talked about it.
Corey Seager swings and misses at a fastball, nothing and one.
Because I was ashamed of it. I thought what was going on in our house was the only house it was going on in until you got out there and realized that it's pretty worldwide.
0-1, and a slider low to Seager. 1-1.
And my mom never talked about it. I saw the results of what my dad did to her. I was there when he threatened her with his revolver I was 8 or 9 years old. And it just left an impact on me. So what we're doing is we're doing it through education.
2-1 to Seager. Missed inside. 3-1.
As you talked about, Howie, Margaret's Place, named after my mom, we put these safe rooms in schools. We have 9 programs in the New York, New Jersey area, and we put a master's level counselor, and we help these kids.
3-1 pitch hit hard on the ground to second. Cano up with it. Throws to first in time. 2 men away. I just want to tie this in with what baseball is so sensitive to now, which is domestic abuse. And for example, there are a couple of players here who have been involved in domestic violence incidents. The Mets have Jairus Familia, Julio Urias of the Dodgers, who pitched last night. When you are in a ballpark where they are present, do you seek them out, talk to them, and try and somehow find some common ground to get them to further understand how important this is to baseball?
You know, Howie, I'm open to talk about it, but, if they feel like talking, that's fine. I'm there. But that, discipline comes out of a different part of our office. And because I'm connected with Major League Baseball, I just would rather they come to me if they want to talk about it. It's a tough subject to talk about, as you could guess.
Will Smith grounds to third. McNeil throws him out, and the Dodgers go in order in the second. Joe's going to spend the bottom of the second with us. We want to touch on another sensitive subject here in New York, of course, the first responder cap issues. But middle of the second inning at Citi Field, Dodgers nothing, Mets nothing, on the WCBS Mets Radio Network, driven by your Tri-Honda dealers.
Let's go, Mets!
We're privileged to have baseball's chief baseball officer, Joe Torre, the former Met manager and player, with us in the booth. And we want to talk about the controversy this week that comes up every year about Major League Baseball's refusal to allow the Mets players to wear the first responder caps in games, never mind just in batting practice and for the pregame ceremonies. Wilson Ramos, the first batter, takes inside ball one. Joe's, whose decision is that? Who says no?
Well, I'm part of that decision-making, and it's just based on the fact that, and I'm certainly sensitive to 9/11. You know, I was in town, even though the Mets obviously played the first game after they came back. I mean, and but it's just a situation where we try to keep the uniforms, you know, consistent with everybody. And I know, you know, first of all, 9/11.
Ramos grounds to first. Muncy fields it behind the bag, throws to Walker Buehler covering in time, one away.
9/11, you know, affected everybody in our country, obviously, in a negative way. And, you know, we wore, when I was with the Yankees, we wore the hats in pregame. And, you know, that's what we had allowed the Mets to do afterwards, you know, with me, because we try to keep the hats the way they are, because every team could really have a legitimate reason to want to wear a different hat to honor, you know, something that happened in their particular area.
Robinson Cano, the batter, takes low.
And we just try to keep it consistent with the uniform. We allow them to use patches. And, you know, they can wear T-shirts pregame.
But let me answer or kind of try to rebut it this way. I understand that it's a tragedy, and there have been other tragedies in the country, and maybe you don't want to get into everybody sort of commemorating a tragedy, if that's the right word, as Cano takes down and in 2-0. But this, at least to me and to us in New York, this is unique. The idea behind the Mets wearing those caps in a game is not necessarily to reflect back on the sadness and the tragedy of that occasion. The idea is to pay tribute to those who to this day are still giving their lives for those agencies. The 2-0 taken inside, 3-0 to Cano.
There's no question that that's something you never want to forget, and something that, you know, you don't celebrate it, you commemorate it, and I understand that. But again, you know, you probably have New Yorkers living and playing for other teams too that can't do it, that would like to do it, I'm sure.
3-0 to Cano is outside ball four, and the Mets get a one-out base runner for J.D. Davis.
And again, I'm not saying, Howie, and like some time in the future that something happens, but we'd have to do it with all the teams because, like, you know, we have Jackie Robinson.
Right.
We honor him with wearing number 42, and everybody does that. It started out, if you remember, a select few guys would wear the number 42 in honor of Jackie. Then it turned out everybody wears it. There may be a day in the future, and I can't tell you it's going to happen, but there may be a day that there be a special, you know, uniform for that particular, as they say, memory of 9/11.
J.D. Davis, the batter. Three infielders to the left of second. The first pitch outside for ball one.
And the hat, you know, as I say, we use patches.
But I mean,
you know, there have been some shoes that players wear, you know.
So you guys were okay with what Pete Alonso did then with the shoes?
You know, we've been in conversation with the Players Association on shoes. Again, that's part of the uniform. And you have a couple of teams that are they are sticklers on the color shoes that their players wear. And that's, you know, that's a big part of it, what the teams really want for their particular, you know, ball club. If you remember going back, Cincinnati, they weren't, you know, allowed to have much of the leg show, I mean, the white showing in their sanitary socks when they were wearing those types of socks under the uniform.
Yeah, the good old days. Look at Chris Taylor at
there.
That's how you wear a uniform.
That's it, exactly. Just enough up there. You see the white from the sanitary hose underneath the outer sock.
There seemed to be a fear of repercussion from Major League Baseball if the Mets just went out there with the first responder caps on anyway. How would MLB react to that?
Well, I'd hate to see, Wayne, that somebody would just completely ignore a rule. That would bother me, you know, just You know, you tell your child to be home at 10. Well, I'm going to be home at 12. I'm not going to be home at 10. I don't care what you tell me. I mean, it's...
Davis lines one to right. That's going to be a base hit fielded by Peterson. Cano goes to second, and the Mets have runners at first and second. One out for Brandon Nimmo.
So, you know, there are rules, and trust me, I listen to a lot of grievances, you know, from players when I discipline players, and if they appeal, I listen to a lot of them, or I'm a witness. And just because someone doesn't like a particular rule, they think it's silly, it doesn't mean you shouldn't abide by it.
Well, you know what, Joe, what I think a lot of people are sensitive towards is that, for instance, baseball came up with these players' weekend uniforms, which were largely reviled, frankly, and the Astros wore their Apollo 11 caps for a game on, I think it was the 22nd of July, to commemorate a great occasion. The moon landing, pitched to Brandon Nimmo, taken for a call, strike, nothing and one. I think people are seeing there's a double standard there. How do you answer that?
Well, you know, we certainly don't like to have a double standard. And as
do you
I
see
say,
it as such?
You know, in that regard, it would be, based on the fact if you let them wear it during the game.
Right, which they did.
With the moon landing.
The 0-1 to Nimmo, fastball in for a called strike, 0-2. So, I mean, is there wiggle room? Do you think baseball might revisit this?
I know one thing. We continue to talk about it. That I can tell you. And as I say, what's good for one team, we'd like everybody to commemorate at the same time. So, you know, to just have one team do it, and I know they're, you know, have New York across their chest, but I still think it, even though it happened in New York, part of it, you know, is Pennsylvania and Washington,
right,
that it's felt all over the country.
1-2 here to Brandon Nimmo. Mets and Dodgers are scoreless. Joe Torre joining us in the booth through the second inning. One out. Cano is at second. J.D. Davis at first. The outfield deep and straight away against the left-hand hitting Nimmo. Buehler deals and a bouncer foul caught by Rosario in the on-deck circle.
These last couple of games show you what the old-time baseball was like, isn't it? Pitching.
Yeah.
And keeping everything intact here. Good pitching stops good hitting.
You played with Seaver. You played with Gibson. When I'm not saying Jacob DeGrom's on his way to Cooperstown necessarily, but off of what you've seen, does he belong in the conversation?
I don't see why not. He's a bulldog. He goes at you, and he finds a way.
Nimmo fouls it back.
May not. You know, these pitchers who are special, and you've seen it, Howie, they find a way. They may not have their best stuff, but they find a way to get there. I mean, look at the adjustments that Kershaw has made. You know, he's not throwing as hard as he used to, but you know, he finds ways to win game. That comes from the inside. But Jacob DeGrom definitely belongs in the conversation.
1-2 to Nimmo. Mets trying to break through against Buehler and the Dodgers. Scoreless in the second. One out. The pitch lifted in the air. Foul down the left field line. 1-2. Where do you stand on the progress that you'd like to see relative to the pace of play?
Well, you know, I think some people get a little mixed up or confused. You know, pace of play is probably the right way to put it, because it's not necessarily the length of game, but like to eliminate as much of the dead time in the game as possible, you know, where nothing's happening. And you know, we tried it and it works somewhat with the trips to the mound. It hasn't been an issue, and we've been able to cut that down.
1-2 to Nimmo. Breaking ball on the dirt. 2-2.
Because that World Series a couple of years ago with Houston, they had like 45 trips to the mound in the course of the ballgame from the catcher, which, you know, a lot of times, and I think a lot of it is spurred by the, you know, the concern about somebody stealing signs.
Did you have to go and tell Warren Spahn about that when you were catching Spahn?
I never had any problem. You know the difference, Howie, and then and now, is you pitch to contact in those days. I mean, you remember Game 7 of the 1960 World Series way before your time, Wayne. The 1960 World Series, you had the Yankees beating, I mean, Pittsburgh beating the Yankees 10-9 in Game 7, right? 2 hours and 30 minutes,
incredible,
by the way.
Right, I thought that
and,
was... Yeah.
And the other thing, which I found astounding when I looked at the box score, and I looked at it a couple of times, No strikeouts in the game.
Incredible.
No strikeouts. They pitch the contact. I dare you to hit it. That type of attitude.
2-2 to Nimmo. Buehler deals, swinging another foul back.
You mentioned the pitcher's duel last night between DeGrom and Ryu, and we saw Kershaw Friday. Is baseball satisfied with the record-shattering home runs this year?
I'm not. You know, I hate to see the home run watered down, and right now I think, you know, that's what's happening. I like the action on the bases. I mean, we have strikeouts, walks, and home runs. And the action is, yeah, guys on base right here, moving them 3-2, or making
Nimmo lines one fair on the chalk down the right field line, and the Mets will take the lead. Cano is in, around third, digging for the plate. Davis, relay throw to the plate, not in time. He slides in safely. Nimmo goes all the way to third. The Mets are leading by a score of 2-0 as Brandon Nimmo, working a typically deep count, fouling off pitches, got one to drill, and he put it right on the chalk down the right field line for a two-run double.
Howie, you really take a cue very well.
Well, once the pitch is coming, I figure I'm here. I might as well.
Well, that was some serious action on the bases. As soon as that ball dropped on the chalk, everybody was running. J.D. Davis scoring easily from first ahead of that relay throw, and Nimmo ending up all the way at third with a triple as the Mets get to Walker Buehler here in the second, Howie.
They give him a triple or second? Double and a throw. Yeah, three. Okay. Triple for Nimmo, his first of the year. And so Rosario back with the infield in. Zach Wheeler, the on-deck hitter. Rosario batting 287, 12 homers. And the first pitch swung on and missed a fastball, nothing and one.
But, you know, as I was saying, the action, there's nothing better. I mean, first to third, stealing bases, the triple in this case. I mean, that's action.
Infield is up. The 0-1 to Rosario. Breaking ball. Did he lay off? He did on appeal to first. And Dan Isonia says ball one.
Will Major League Baseball try to intervene in some way with the making of the actual ball and trying to keep some of them in the park next year?
You know, Wayne, there's nothing different that we're doing with the ball.
2-1 to Rosario, 1-1 popped, you know, up foul out of play.
And it doesn't say, you know, because machinery is getting better, that the balls aren't being wound tighter, but there has been no decision made to, you know, let's see if we can liven up the ball. You know, it's still hand-sewn, but I understand why the questions are there, because the ball jumps.
Sario fouls one back to the screen, so remains 1-2. Zach Wheeler waiting on deck. We're happy to have Joe Torre with us in the booth here talking about not only his Safe at Home Foundation, but some of the other issues going on within the game right now. Let's pick up this 1-2 pitch before we move any further here with the infield in, the outfield a step towards right. Nimmo leading down the line from third. Buehler deals in a breaking ball. Rosario lays off. Big part of the progress that he's made. Not biting at something that he used to be so vulnerable towards.
Well, I tell you, you have two pitchers here, two young pitchers with dynamite arms here.
And one other question for you about what might be coming up in terms of baseball's enhancements potentially during the postseason. 2-2 pitch. Swing and a foul back to the screen. I know it would mean taking less money from the networks, and we know how important that is to baseball in so many different areas. That's almost understood at this point. But is there any concern, as attendance has dropped a little, ratings have dropped a little bit, that maybe it's time, at least during the World Series, to play the weekend games during the afternoon?
Nice reminiscence, isn't it?
Still a dead issue? 2-2 to Rosario, lifted in the air, foul, first base side. That'll settle out of play downstairs.
Well, I think as long as TV, and it's, you know, we're not the only sport that has to deal with, with scheduling for television. But, I managed the Yankees, and there was no such thing as a day game for a getaway day when you with the Yankees, because everybody wanted to have you at night, you know.
Well, that brings up another angle, and that's tonight. 2-2 to Rosario, fouled straight down at home plate. Now, the Mets, because this game was rescheduled from 1:10 to 7:05, and who knows how long this game might go, they've got to go all the way out to Denver and play a very important game tomorrow night. How does baseball balance getting the integrity of the competition to the highest level it can possibly be with the almighty dollar?
It's, you know, when you sign a contract with, like, you know, ESPN, obviously, tonight.
Rosario swings and misses strike three, 2 men away.
And they have the right to change certain games.
But baseball also
has the... with this one, obviously, yeah, with the Dodgers, who they are, and the Mets as hot as they had gotten.
Here's my question, though, Joe, and I know this is, you know, more far-reaching than something you could answer in the immediate, but... can baseball, instead of quantifying it in the short term, sort of invest in the future of making the game a little bit more available to young fans so that here's the first pitch to Wheeler, taken for a called strike, nothing and one. The commissioner is fond of saying, let the kids play. How about let the kids watch?
Well, again, I'm, you know, for me to say that, you know, we don't want the kids to watch. It's crazy. I think we all want the kids to be a part of this because to be a fan, you obviously have to play it and watch it.
Wheeler rolls out to first, and so the Mets done in the second. They score 2 runs on 2 hits and leave 1. Mets lead the Dodgers 2-0. Joe, we really appreciate you coming up and spending time with us.
It's fun being with you.
Always is.
Wayne.
Yeah. Mets 2, Dodgers nothing on the WCBS Mets Radio Network, driven by your Tri-Honda dealers.
Let's go, Mets!